the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here.
Welcome back.
We feel like we've just joined the most exciting game that's being played anywhere in the universe. Okay. Do you feel like you're in the middle of a game?
Yeah,
sometimes. Are in the middle of a game. It is meant to be fun. Are you having fun in your game?
Sometimes.
Are you worrying about how you're playing the game?
Yeah.
Right? Or how it's going to turn out? Mm-hmm. Or if you're going to win?
Right.
Or if someone else is beating you in this game?
Yeah.
But it's a game of solitaire. You can't be defined by how you play the game. You can't really win or lose the game. All you're doing is just having fun. That's the only reason you're here, right? And while you're here, you might experience some things, and you might birth some desires, and you might expand in the process of aligning with those desires or not. Either way, you're expanding, and you might be perceiving your reality in a way that is beneficial to all that is and the rest of the universe. And otherwise, that's all there is to it. There's nothing else to do. So while you're here, you're either having fun and expanding and enjoying it, or you're resisting it because you think that how you play the game defines you. You're worried about how you're perceived by others. You're worried about what if you lose the game. You're worried about what is the game. You're worried about that this isn't a game. You're worried about there are no games, that this is all there is, that there's nothing else to this, that you might not know what's going on. And so you make all this stuff up, which doesn't serve you, doesn't empower you, doesn't allow you to move towards that which you really are and do that which you came here to do in the first place. So if you take it as a simple, fun, little game of solitaire that's just supposed to be a way to allow you to experience some things that you hadn't experienced before, that no one's experienced before, because every experience you have is unique to you, that no one in the history of humanity has ever experienced anything the way you're experiencing it now, whether that's eating a meal. No one in humanity has ever experienced eating a meal the way you've experienced eating your last meal. Do you understand that? That way that you've perceived eating that meal, that one meal, is completely unique to you. The way it tastes, the way you feel about it, the way you think about it, anything about that. Even if people were sitting there eating the same meal with you, they couldn't perceive it the way you perceived it. Because your perception is completely unique. Not just your perception of this life or of this time in history or of where you are on this planet or of who you think you are on this planet, but every little detail of experience is completely unique to you and has never been experienced by anyone. So imagine a lifetime, whether that's a week or 100 years, of infinite number of experiences that have never been experienced before or will never be experienced again, adding to the benefit of the whole of the universe. Now, it's interesting to think that as we sit here and look at you, as these magnificent beings of perception who are experiencing and perceiving things in unique ways to benefit all of us in non-physical, that you consider yourselves to be insignificant, or even maybe not insignificant, but not as great or powerful as we see you. Isn't that a weird thing? That your perception is so much more limited than magnificence that you really are. That you see yourself as one of 7 billion rather than as the center of your universe, as one in a member of a family or community that is not so special compared to maybe somebody else. when you each have millions who are watching you and cheering you on and are amazed at how well you're doing and what you're perceiving and all the benefit that you're offering. It's really a difference of perception. And if you can start perceiving yourself more as who you really are, more as who your inner self sees you, more as who your millions see you, more as who we see you, more as a perfection that is you, more as that you can't be anything other than perfect as you are, then you'll start to feel a little bit more limitless, a little more similar to who you really are. So when you think that something's happening to you and you perceive it from this limited perspective and you feel this negative emotion because you can't possibly see yourself the way that we see you or the way your inner self sees you, and so you choose the perspective that seems to make sense given how you feel about yourself, what's happened in your past, the childhood that you have, how others treated you or are treating you now, and then all your fears and insecurities, well, they just don't add up to this magnificent being that you really are. Because you're so caught up in this illusion. And so now we come to tell you that you are a limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance, and that you can accept you for who you are as perfect, and you can accept everyone else as who they are being, which is something different than who they really are, but still who they are being as perfect. You can see them the way we see you, and we see them as well, and you can see that everything is working out perfectly for you, including the conditions that are a perfect reflection of the vibration that you're emitting right now. Right? And it can be fine to say to yourself that this is something I don't prefer, and due to this, I don't want to change it because it cannot be changed, but I want to go in another direction and see what it would feel like to be this. Right? And then you can move in that direction. So you have all the power in the world to do anything you want. But it really comes from a point of perception of seeing yourself as powerful and creative and magnificent as you really are. Imagine now that for every human that exists in reality right now, and there's more than ever because the world has more to offer than it ever had before. There's more going on. There's more possibilities of experience. And that's why there are more humans living on the earth than ever before. But for every one of you that's living now, we will say there were several trillion who very much wanted to be there. And you emerged for them, for each one of them, as it's being living this perception. And they are living through you as you are doing it. And so they are guiding you and helping you and supporting you and with you at every moment. But they don't see any imperfection. They see who you are now as perfect as you are, just as we do. They see that there's a potential that you might evolve to something different in the future, but that version of you in the future will be no more or less perfect than you are now. So there's nothing to fix or change about anyone now, because you are all living this perfect representation of your vibration, which you can change when you learn how to do that, if you choose to do that. So if you can see yourselves as magnificent, you can see yourself from the perspective that we see you, your inner self sees you, your millions see you. Now, your millions are guiding you not towards being a better version of who you are, but to a perspective of yourself that is empowering, the same perspective that they have of you. And when you can see yourself from the same perspective that your inner self sees you, then you are aligned with that perspective. And then when something happens and you feel fear, you can realize that you're taking a perspective that is not aligned with your inner self. That's all the guidance you need. You need never do anything else other than that. You can work on the fear if you like, but if you realize that just the fear is causing you to think about things in a way that is limiting, that is not seeing you as that magnificent, perfect being that you are, then you can say, well, what is that fear here? Why am I having this fear? Is this fear rational? Of course it's not rational. Let's prove it false. And let's get on diminishing the intensity of this limiting belief so that I can turn to seeing myself as magnificent and perfect. How many of you believe you are perfect as you are right now? Other than Kyla.
Getting there.
Exactly. You are all perfect as you are right now. Okay, now let's imagine that you could change something about yourself. Everyone mentally picks something in their head that they could change about themselves, and instantly you'd be changed. Does everyone have an idea of that? Everyone who's listening right now, think of something that you would like to change about yourself. Maybe you'd like to be personally more intelligent, more witty, better looking, taller, shorter, thinner, whatever. Okay? Healthier, whatever it is. Now, let's say you made that change. Your millions granted you that change. Instantly, boom, you're that change. Now, for a little while, you'll walk around being proud of your change and thinking that everyone thinks that you are wonderful because you've made this one change to yourself, right? And you'll walk down the street and you'll notice how many people admire you for the change that you've made. And then for a little while, that will distract you from your insecurity and self-doubt. But soon enough, you will begin to realize that nobody cares about this change you made. That this change you think is so important, not one other person in the world thinks it was important. That not one other person views you differently or treats you differently or that there's anything different going on, because ultimately, the change didn't happen on the inside. It was a change to the condition on the outside. And you are part of the outside conditions if you change some aspect of yourself that you don't think is good. So when you make this change without changing the inside, then you'll soon start to feel the same way you always did. And then you will become a reflection of how you feel about yourself. So this persona that you have created, this idea of who you are, is simply a reflection of how you feel about yourself. Change how you feel about yourself or anything else in the whole world, and the outside will start to change. You've heard us say this a million times before, but maybe you haven't realized that you are also part of the conditions on the outside. So having said that, you are perfect as you are, and there is nothing you can do to change other than to change the way you feel, if you want to do that. And then if something about you changes, then that's fine, and you will be a different version of you, but not a more perfect one. You may be an evolved version of you, but not a better one, right? Or a worse one. When you age, say 10 years from now, you will look back on the you who existed 10 years ago, and you will make some judgment about that version of you. And you might say, oh, I was younger, and that therefore that was better. Oh, I was younger and knew less, and therefore that was not as good as now. But it doesn't matter, because that version in this moment is perfect. That version 5 minutes ago is perfect. That version 10 years ago is perfect. And you are just a different version of you, just as perfect as you were before. Does any of this make sense whatsoever? Always blank stares.
I feel like I've talked to you about this before, because I mean, sitting right here on this call, it's easy for me to see myself as perfect. When you asked us to go looking for something that we would change, what came to my mind is the idea that I should be more organized or would like to be more organized. And you've told me that that's not a necessary component for me to get what I want, but I don't know. Is that just me filling in my own grid, thinking that if I were more organized, then I would...
Yeah. If you were more organized, then you think that you could accomplish more stuff,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
However, disorganization has nothing to do with the accomplishment. It's just a thing that you point to as your excuse why you're not doing more stuff, right?
Okay.
The same with the bank account, or the same with the anything else that you might say.
Right.
If only I had $1 million, I could do this. Right.
Right.
But if you could do this first, then you would have $1 million. If you could do this first, then you would be organized, or organization would not matter to you,
right,
or the money would not. All the conditions on the outside are simply a reflection of how you are. And if you look at your bedroom and say that that's a cluttered mess, well, that's a reflection of the inside.
Mm.
Okay. Which is not to say you're a cluttered mess on the inside.
I say that sometimes.
Right?
Sorry, say that again. So it's not to say that I'm a cluttered mess on the inside, but what'd you say after that?
This idea of being organized and detailed and getting things done has nothing to do with that. Okay? That is just a manifestation of this idea that you have some insecurities about what you want to do, what you can do. And so you look at the cluttered mess and say, that's why I'm this way. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is that there's fear around yourself in whatever work you do.
Yeah.
Because you think that you're defined by what you do, mm-hmm. or what you create, or what you put out there. But that's not true, because what are you?
A limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance.
Right. So who cares if you can make a podcast or do whatever it needs to be done?
Yeah.
Take a pick anything else.
So
even raise kids or anything.
Yeah. So is that fear the only thing that's stopping me? I mean, so...
Yes.
Okay. Got it.
Yes.
I see the progress being made.
Okay. Right. As you learn to realize that your perfection is in your perception of your reality and how you perceive it, and not in what you do.
Yeah.
Okay. The doing is nothing, right? The doing is can be fun, but then when you entangle it with all sorts of meaning, right, that if I do a good job at this, it means I'm a good person and others will love me. If I do a bad job at this, it means I'm not a good person and others will find fault with me and find reason not to love me.
Mm.
And really, it's not about the others, it's about yourself.
Right.
So if I'm good at this, it proves I'm good.
Right.
If I'm not good at this, it proves to myself I'm not good. Just like what they always said. Right? What they always said was, if you're good, you're good. And if you're behaving bad, you're bad. So you bought into this limiting beliefs that were forced upon you because they wanted to control you.
Mm. I understand.
Are all of our limiting beliefs, basically, if you boil it down, they're all about loss of love?
All about loss, right.
Loss.
Yeah. So loss of love, loss of respect, loss of admiration, loss of family, loss of connections, loss of friendship, loss of life, loss of anything. So if you can get over that fear of loss, that you cannot lose anything. This is an attractive universe. Once you've attracted it to you, you can't even lose your limiting beliefs. All you can do is diminish their intensity so that you can move through them. It's an attractive universe. You attract that, and it's with you forever in some form. Right? And the beautiful thing is, when you transition, you take it all with you. So you have all of the benefit of these desires that you've created. And in the non-physical, then you can play around with these desires as much as you like and make things magically appear and get into these roles and do all these fun things that you would never have thought of had you not lived this physical experience.
Mm-hmm.
Gary and Lily and friends went to a restaurant yesterday and they had poutine, which is duck fat French fries with gravy and cheese curds.
Okay.
Wonderful thing that is.
Yeah, right? I bet it is.
But that never occurred to him to ever eat that before. And here he is getting to play around and eat something that like that. Well, while you're in non-physical, you're watching this physical reality going on. You live a physical experience. You create these desires that you would never have thought of before. Because in non-physical, there's no lack. There's no fear. There's no possibility of loss. There's none of these things, right? So you can't really create these desires from the non-physical. You create them from the physical and bring them forth into the non-physical. So no matter what you desire here, if you don't make it manifest in physical reality, you'll make it manifest in the non-physical. But wouldn't it be fun to make it manifest here?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the only reason you're not doing it here is through some irrational fear. But you can actually, literally, be, do, and have anything you want if you can just figure out a way to push past the fear.
I've got lots of fears around my work at the moment. And even when I've been really successful and the results have come back as really successful. When someone then turns around to me and says it could just be a coincidence when I've cured something that they've had for 40 years, I'm finding it hard to stay. I know it's their journey and I shouldn't be sort of forcing them to open up to the fact that, yes, it has worked, but it still really impacts my confidence.
Right. So you haven't actually done anything. You've only opened up a belief system in them, which allowed them to do whatever it is that they do, whether they heal themselves or whether they remain resistant. We aren't creating in your reality. All we do is come forth to open up your belief system a little bit so that you can see from another perspective, that you can suspend these fears and limiting beliefs, and that you can allow in whatever it is you want. So these people coming to you wanting, with this desire to be healed, but this belief that it can only be done a certain way, resistance, right?
Yeah.
Attached to certain outcomes, and they either find in you the belief that they can be cured, and that will last as long as they believe that it was caused by you, or by what work you did together, or whatever that was, or they will return to feeling the way they did. And so that's why people can overcome illnesses if the desire is strong, but why they could relapse into the same illness, exact same illness, if they returned feeling the same way they did before. So what happens many times is that people will feel resistant, will resist something very strongly. What they will think is that their life is not going the way they wanted it to. They think that things in the outside world should be different than they are. They call it wrong or bad. And there is no wrong anywhere in the universe. These things they call wrong give birth to strong desire. And from there, they either allow the desire to manifest, or they resist it by saying that the way the desire is coming is wrong, or something about the desire is wrong, or they try and fill it in themselves, and they stay in this resistant state. Now, if they come close to a traumatic, jumping the rails kind of experience, sometimes on the brink of death, for instance, they may realize how life should be for them, how easy it is for them, how easy all of this is, how they were making up all the hard parts of it,
right?
And then they may change, and they may take a new approach to life after that, and miraculously, through whatever procedure, they are healed and they remain healed, because now they're less resistant and they're appreciating life. And they think, I came so close to death that I'm so happy to be here that now I'm just focused on being alive, and therefore they're non-resistant. Other people will say that things are happening wrong, things are going wrong, things happened in my life that were wrong, people did things to me that were wrong, I made choices that were wrong, and this led me to this horrible place in my life, and now I've developed this illness. And then they will say, well, I want to get rid of this illness, because they're looking at the symptom. They're not looking at the resistance behind the symptom. They're looking at the symptom itself and saying that this thing is wrong. And if I can change the symptom, this chronic illness that has plagued me, then I will have a happy life. But they didn't have a happy life before, and that's why they got the message of the symptom of the chronic illness.
Right.
So they can be distracted from that chronic illness or not. And they can be distracted for a period of time and revert. And so your role in all of this is to allow them to ease their way out of the resistance by believing in whatever it is that you're doing is of benefit to them in one way or another. Now, it may be of benefit to them to distract them long enough to live a happy life for the rest of their life. And it may be of benefit to them to see the difference between living resistant and living non-resistant, believing in something that's a cure and seeing their life as bad.
Okay.
And going back and forth. So really, for you, you are like Wendy being a realtor or Michael being a lawyer. You are the conduit for them to either gain alignment or remain resistant. You are there to help them from this process to alignment if they choose to. But all you can do is be there for them in love and support and see them as perfect, whether they're healed or not. If you can detach your self from any specific outcome and detach your value from whether they are healthy or not, because it has nothing to do with you, right? All illness is created within, all health is created within, all everything is created within and projected outwards. You can be the person who gives them hope, who they can believe in, but when you think of yourself as probably a surgeon might think of himself as the one who's actually curing the person is always responsible for their own cure.
That's how homeopathy works.
That's how homeopathy works. That's how surgery works. Surgery is just an elaborate trick of belief.
Okay.
You might think you removed the tumor, but that's just an illusion. You might think you did anything, but that's just an illusion. Because it is such a traumatic experience for the patient believes in it. Because the doctor is so confident, the patient believes in the doctor's success. When the doctor comes back and says, your surgery was a success, the patient believes in it for a time being, until it turns out it wasn't a success. So it's always up to the patient, always up to the individual, and your role is this facilitator to help them through whatever process they're going to choose. And if their desire is strong enough, they can choose health. And if they don't choose health, well, that's not up to you. That's up to them, because they are gaining from this experience either way. We, from non-physical, say that health is just as valuable as illness. And illness is just as valuable as health. And there is no right or wrong. There is no wrong choice. From your perspective as human, you say, obviously, health is better than illness. Who would want to be ill? But people get a lot out of illness that you can't really see from where you are. Right? People get sympathy. People get to have an excuse for why they're not living a more expansive life. People love from being ill that they didn't experience before. You see all these reasons that people attract illnesses.
Just let them be?
No, you should give them what they want.
Okay.
What do they want when they come to you? When they knock on your door and walk in that office, what do they want?
They want health.
They want health, right?
I'm struggling as well with getting paid for it at the moment. I'm getting there slowly.
The more you charge,
lots of people for free.
The more you charge, the more you believe in it.
Mm.
The more you charge, the more they believe in it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So do you believe you'd be more effective for them if you charged $10,000 or if it was free?
Well, the person that I treated who I was talking about, who had, she had great grief 40 years ago, and then she's had psoriasis ever since then, that I treated her for free. And then she turned around to me and said, I'm really well, but it's probably all a coincidence.
Well, it's not a coincidence. There are no coincidences. There's no luck. It's not random that she met you. Right. This was all organized because you have desires and she has desires, and you are the perfect match to her desire. Right. You are the vibrational equivalent of her desire. She attracted you. You attracted her. You are a match to her. But if you had charged her $10,000 or 10,000 pounds or whatever it is, then she would have believed it more.
God, I need to get my rates up.
You need to get your rates up. This is why Gary wants to give all of this for free, and we are constantly telling him, you have to charge, you have to charge, you have to charge, because if it's free, then the belief is not there.
Wow.
Now, and if they pay something for it, then they believe that they are entitled to receive the information because they've paid for it, right? And so that they are more consciously aware of the information, they're trying to integrate it, they're trying to see how it is for them, they're trying to make the value come to life in their belief system, and therefore it does. Without the money, it's just like another anything. It's just, how could this be value if it's not free? So one day, these things will be $5,000 or $10,000, and then people will really believe it.
So she should raise her rates, but will that change? I mean, if she were to just go out and raise the rates on her website without changing her beliefs, because isn't that patient saying, oh, maybe it's a coincidence? Isn't that just a reflection of her, like her own self-doubt?
Absolutely.
The same way my bedroom is.
Right. So the reason she raises her rates too is to believe that she is worth it.
Okay.
It's a self-fulfilling cycle that when she charges more, the patient will believe it more. The patient is more likely to accept the treatment as a real thing. Mm. Therefore, the outcome is going to be more that Victoria wants, more like what she wants.
Mm-hmm.
Victoria is going to feel more confident, and then she will be more confident charging more. And in turn, the person will come with more, and it'll grow and grow and grow. Mm-hmm. A surgeon who spends 3 hours in surgery receiving $100,000 feels highly confident in what they're doing. Right? They feel almost godlike. And that feeling is given over to the patient who believes it, right? And then that patient tells other people, this is the best surgeon there is. This is what they did for me. This is how much it charged. That sort of thing.
I like that you said that, that belief then transfers to the patient. And so that's a positive thing, because I was smiling earlier when you said the doctor isn't actually, or the surgeon actually isn't actually doing anything. It's all the patient. Because I know a few doctors who are really cocky and I judge it. So that feels good that there's...
Cockiness from our perspective is excellent.
Right. Mm-hmm. I see
it
that
is a
now.
Fantastic characteristic to have. It's so confidence. Funny. Confidence is a is an emotion based in love. Yeah. To feel confident is how your inner self feels about you. It's aligning perfectly with the perspective of your inner self. To feel insecure is the opposite of confidence, and that is based in fear. And that is a negative emotion that conflicts with the perspective your inner self feels about you.
Is there any place for humility? I mean, because...
No.
Okay. I was raised that that's like something to be valued.
You chose that.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Yep. Yep.
Well, isn't it too, though, with her patients? Because, I mean, I went through this. I was diagnosed with Lyme disease, and I did every treatment I could possibly get my hands on, expensive, experts, you name it, and it didn't work. None of it. And then when I found you guys, remarkably, everything went away.
Right. Well, because Lyme disease is a message sent to you from your body that you are resisting.
Right, I know.
And the more you resist, the more the prevalence of this, especially if you think that this is a bad thing, you know, if this physical condition is unwanted and you think it's wrong and bad, and you focus on fixing it, and it never gets fixed because you never, that's just the symptom, that's just the message. You can't fix the message. You've got to fix the resistance to cause the message to come forth.
Yeah.
Okay. So any unwanted physical condition, except those that are leading directly to death. Right? If someone is ready to die and they adopt a disease that allows them to die in the manner they want to die, then that's a different thing. Okay. But these little chronic things that come up are a result of a chronic pattern of resistance, and you ignored it when you first got the negative emotion. When you first thought that thing was wrong and you felt the negative emotion because it's not wrong, because your inner self is saying it's right and you're right. Disagreeing. And then after a while of this being ignored, then the body feels this inner conflict and then it brings you a message. Mm-hmm. The message could be anything, migraines, Lyme disease, whatever, any chronic condition. The chronic conditions are the ones that are really obvious messages of chronic resistance.
Right.
So you come to us. You feel a little bit better, you feel a little less resistance, and the message is no longer needed.
Right.
And the message goes away on its own.
Right. Right. Exciting news last night, I was able to stop a migraine. My thoughts.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
wow.
I felt this push there. I was like, nope, I am a worthy person. And I just went through my whole pile of my affirmations from the meditation, and I was able to stop it with no medication, nothing.
You were able to say that I do not need this message.
No, exactly.
I understand from the emotion. I'm going to do my work, and then I'm going to get back to feeling good and being less resistant.
Exactly.
And then, therefore, thank you for coming, but I don't need you anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
A good feeling.
So as a healer, what do you think Victoria's role is?
Help them see who they really are.
Well... that they may not be receptive to that.
Right.
What they're receptive to is her ideology of healing.
Mm.
Right?
Okay.
To a degree. They're receptive. Some people are very receptive to it. Some people are very discounting of it. But those who actually come through the office, pay the fee, and subscribe to the recommendations and the approach and the process of it can be led to a belief that this can be resolved. Victoria, do you let the people know that it is them who is doing the healing themselves?
Yeah, I tell people that it's just fine. I give them remedies, but it's actually they just give, or this is what I thought before, that the remedies just give their body a nudge to what needs to be fixed, and it's your body that actually fixes it.
Right.
So is her
role... With the remedies at the moment, it seems that they're clearing mental things, mental emotional problems, and then the physical things.
Right. That's how exactly it works.
So her role would be confidence.
Yeah.
Her role would be confidence and believability. And that's really demonstrated by confidence.
So I'm relating that to what I'm doing. I'm getting a lot out of hearing you talk to Victoria. But so is her role to just believe in the work that she's doing and put it out there and detach from the outcome and let people either receive it or not receive it and just do what she loves to do and what she believes in?
Exactly. Her role and everyone's role is to pursue whatever it is that gives them bliss. Passion. If you have a passion for this thing and you enjoy interacting with people and helping them, and this makes time fly by and you don't think about eating and your physical reality comes in on itself, then that's all you need to worry about. That part of it, the part where you're actually talking to people, not the outcomes of anything. The outcomes never matter. Okay. If you're attached to an outcome.
In that way, does Kyla need to raise her rates?
Everyone needs to raise their rates. Absolutely. Because your rates reflect your confidence. And your confidence reflects your rates.
So do I need to do the one-on-one with Gary before he raises his rates?
That's an irrational fear. Because if Gary raises the rates to, say, $6,000 a month, then the universe will provide you with whatever you need to do whatever you need to do.
Okay. Yeah.
Right? So you do that whenever you're ready to do it, and it'll work out as long as you're just a component of you being able to follow your passion.
And we can get paid for being on these podcasts then. Next week we're getting paid, right? I want to get paid.
Raise your rates, Astrid.
Okay, I will.
We need to all send Gary.
Gary's not going to be happy with you, Joshua.
Gary is fucked.
Gary will allow it to come however it comes. So the idea is that you just do whatever it is you're inspired to do. And if you're inspired to heal, then all you do is heal. The way you've been taught, the way you think works best. If you've come up with something different, if an idea strikes to you, then while you're in the presence of the person you're healing, and as long as you have confidence, which allows you to maintain a high level state of being, right? A high vibrational state, a high emotional state. As long as you're at that level of confidence while you're healing the person, then you'll be receptive to the right ideas and thoughts that you can communicate to that person. In a way that will be so believable that the belief itself will spur them on towards some improvement. When they get that nudge you were talking about, then they either have the ability to move forward with that improvement and roll with it and feel better. In turn, they will receive higher vibrational thoughts and ideas and inspiration to do something more. And that something more might lead them to a book or to a podcast, or to a ideology that will help them feel better and better and better and resolve some of these issues that they may have had. But clearly, you can see that the issues are always tied to resistance, and resistance is always the feeling that something bad or wrong has happened or will happen or shouldn't have happened.
Can Victoria talk with them about that? Ask them, you know, what they're resisting or what they think they're resisting?
Well, does anyone really know what they're resisting?
Well, some you get it. You have a clue. I mean, sometimes you have a clue what making you feel bad or...
I think maybe
The person in question that I was treating, she lost a child 40 years ago.
There you go,
And this physical condition came on.
Right. Yeah. So...
I didn't know that until after she was better. And then we started discussing when did this start?
Right.
So
brilliant conclusion there. And the idea to discuss this might have come from, you don't think your thoughts, you don't create thoughts in your head that your thoughts are attracted. So from this desire to help them, as long as you're not trying to have them change who they are so that you can feel better, but if you truly want to practice what you're practicing, and while you're doing it, you're in a high emotional state of being, then you can receive thoughts and ideas, and maybe a thought that came to you was to go deeper and find out what happened in the past that might have sprung forth the manifestation of this illness, right? And so she was then inspired to tell you about what actually happened. And then in this case, while it's certainly a traumatic thing that you can see from your perspective was is wrong or bad to lose a child, you can see now that her development of this ailment came from resistance to what happened. And if that resistance can be eased in any way, then the physical condition can be easily. If it can't be eased, then there's nothing really you can do for very long, because she's still going to be thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking it was wrong. Right. And even if she understood what we understand here, that there is no death, that this was an experience for her that she chose, that her child chose, that whether the child lives for a month or 100 years, it's still a valid experience of life that is meaningful, and that it was all intended, right? And that when she transitions to non-physical, she will be reunited with that child and that being, and that she can communicate with that child now, even better than she could when the child was alive, because the access is mental through thoughts, and everyone has that ability if they practice it. So can that lessen the impact of this emotional scar that happened 40 years ago? It can, depending on someone's belief system. People have come to us with similar issues and have been able to come to not complete non-resistance, but a much higher level of being more okay with it than they were before, of the grief being resolved, of coming to an understanding where that you could take a perspective, where the person could take a perspective of the non-physical, looking down on how this all works. But from a perspective of a human who doesn't really understand how physical reality works and why we're here and why the whole system has been set up in the first place, might think that this was something that was taken away from them, a great loss. And that loss therefore manifests itself into all kinds of physical issues that no one can resolve except for them, obviously. So some people will come to you with trauma that can't be healed, or they're not ready for it to be healed. And some people will come to you with minor things that can be healed, right? Minor perspective changes that you can help them with. And if you can remain in a higher emotional state of being, you will be given the thoughts of what to say, what to prescribe, and even what to suggest that they do. For instance, if you can suggest to people to meditate once a day and to learn to control those thoughts and to change their perspective, that will go more to do to help them than anything else. That one little change in their life. And if you can be a proponent to say that this is what you can say, that I will give you this remedy and I will ask you to do this, but one thing will supercharge this more than anything else, and that is a few minutes meditation every day. And at first it will be uncomfortable and it might take a little time to get used to, but once you get used to learning how to control your thoughts, you will not want to miss a day. You will enjoy it so much, and the results you receive from the healing that I do will be intensified greatly. And when they can do that, then they can engage the real well-being that's their birthright, the real energy of the universe.
Wow.
That's exciting.
Yeah. I love meditation. I use it as a device sometimes too. If my thoughts are spiraling out of control, if I'm able to, I'll stop what I'm doing and go listen to a meditation and get myself back on track.
Excellent. Well, that's why we require it as part of the one-on-one. Because the result of the one-on-one is that you ask a lot of questions, you really understand the theory of what we're talking about, and then as you meditate, you are able to control the thoughts. And so you can learn to stop some thought, even if it's for a few moments. You'll have a flood of thoughts. You will say, I want to return back to the meditation. I want to reduce the amount of thoughts that are coming to me. And so I choose to turn my attention away from the random thoughts and to the meditation itself. And as you get better and better doing this, you can do that in your daily life. I feel the thought that this is wrong. I want to change that thought. I want to move it towards what I want. I want to focus in the direction, the other direction of what I want rather than what I'm complaining about. And meditation allows you to do this so much easier. Do you meditate now?
Me?
Victoria, yep.
Yes, I do.
Excellent. Good.
And I listen to all the Joshua meditations. Sometimes last night I couldn't sleep, so I listened to them about 3 times.
Yep.
Happy voice, Kyla. Oh,
thanks. So Joshua, when you say meditation, does that look like, I mean, does that have a specific way that it looks? Because for me, even when I was in the one-on-one, I never really did the sit down in the morning, listen to the 15-minute guided meditation. I would put it on before I was going to bed and I would fall asleep, but I would find myself other times doing, I think, the same thing or the point of meditation, but while driving, just controlling the flow of thoughts. Is that all that meditation is, or does it have to look like a certain practice?
No, it doesn't have to look like anything except that if you can make it a certain practice, it'll just be easier and more consistent.
That makes sense.
And you'll, like any practice, if you say, I want to walk 4 miles a day, and so you go out and you put your clothes on and you put your shoes on and you put in a podcast and you get your earbuds in and you know where you're going to go and where you're going to walk back from, and you do that walk, then that is one form of exercise. If you just say, well, I'm going to walk a certain amount around the house anyway, and I'm going to go to the grocery store, and that's counting, that's walking too, and your intention isn't the same, right? So the result is a little bit different. The practice of meditation that we see beneficial is the consistency of doing whatever it is you want to do at more or less the same time every day. And if you can get into that consistency, you will build momentum, like anything else that you do, in a consistent way. And as you build momentum, you'll just get better and better and better. So while any attempt at meditation is great, we like the idea of picking something that you enjoy and doing that same thing quietly on your own sometime during every day, once a day. Yeah. Because the truth is, if you are setting aside a time to actually do this exercise, you can spend, whether it's 10 minutes or 15 minutes, focused on what you want to do. If you think that, well, I have to drive here and I have to meditate, so let's do them at the same time, you really aren't clearing your mind because you have to pay attention to stoplights and kids walking across the street and things like that as well. Unless you don't pay attention to that stuff.
I let Jesus drive. Take the wheel.
Oh, goodness. Very good. Kate, how is your adventure in New York City?
Okay, it's good. It's good. It's beautiful weather. I'm very excited and a bit exhausted. There was a small terrorist attack at the airport when I left, so that delayed everything. But it was an adventure. It was sort of calm and fun, except for the terrorist. And now I'm here and happy listening to you. You just said the practice of medication, and then you corrected yourself to meditation. And that's the second time I've heard that in 2 days, somebody doing that stick of the tongue, which I find interesting.
What a coincidence.
Yes. And I went to a meditation meeting last night, and it was with a group, and I usually never meditate in a group. And so that was an interesting experience. It was different, but it worked. It really worked. So I'm just happy to be here. I'm sorry you can't hear me, so I'll shut up.
we heard you very well. Good. Well, is a minor terrorist attack or a terrorist incident a part of the game that you've chosen to play?
It seems like it.
Yeah. A major one is not part of the game, but a minor one, a little exciting excitement. Yes. Something you can talk about.
Yes. Right. I'm starting to prepave right now.
So the idea that you can prepave what you want is really the idea that you had prior to coming into physical reality. You prepave this life that you're living now by setting up certain intentions. So those intentions were to have fun, to be easy, to enjoy life, to be happy, to have freedom, to have all the abundance that you know that is your birthright, and to explore one or more things in more detail. So you chose the time and place of your birth and your parents and the conditions of your youth. So that would launch you on a trajectory towards where you are at this one moment. Whether you are 18 years old listening to us now or 90 years old, you have come to the perfect moment in time. Because if you have risen to the vibrational level of these words, then you are ready to go on to do whatever it is you want to do. You are ready for the next step, so to speak. And the next step is to consciously create the life you prefer. Not by thinking that the life you have now is wrong or has been wrong, or that there's anything that needs to be changed in you or any of the conditions around you. But the life you've created is perfect as you intended to come to this point. And from this point, you can realize that everything is perfect and that you can choose what you want to experience next. It's not a choice of choosing what to fix or choosing an aspiration to achieve. It's just choosing the feeling that you think would be fun to feel now. I felt this and this and this before in my experience. What do I choose to feel now? What do I choose to feel next? What more do I want? By focusing on all the good things that have happened in your life and are in your life right now, and saying that all these things are right, and by looking at even the good things in the bad things, right? If you can look and focus on the positive aspects of the things you don't like, you can create a life with more of the positive aspects of everything. If there's an annoying person in your life, yet that annoying person, you can find one or two aspects that you like and focus on those things, that you just bring more of those things in rather than more of the annoying things in. That is consciously creating the life that you prefer, right? To ever focus on anything unwanted in a negative way, such as the peril of a terrorist attack rather than the fun and excitement of a terrorist attack, right, is to bring in the negative of that. And you may say, you cannot look at a terrorist attack in a positive way. It can only be looked at in a negative way. And we just showed you how you can look at a terrorist attack in a positive way, where there was no harm, there was no foul, but you got an interesting story and you had a bit of excitement. And that's all you needed. So by seeing the positive in something so hideous, you can see the positive in anything you consider wrong. And take with only that which you want. And by focusing on that, then you're leaving all the other stuff behind. Right? Now, certain things happen in your childhood, and you chose those things to happen. And you knew that they would happen. And you knew that you would be adopting these limiting beliefs based on what others thought was wrong. And that's fine. But you no longer need to do that anymore. You can give all of that up. You can be whoever you want to be now. And you don't have to worry about people accepting you as you try and put up this persona. You don't have to worry about being somebody who can heal everyone. And you don't have to worry about being someone who heals no one. Right? You can just do whatever you're inspired to do and let the chips fall where they may, but it has nothing to do with you. You are a pure positive being who is limitless and eternal, and all you're here to do is have fun and focus on the things that you want to do. Now, if you require that only people who are healed make you feel good, well, then you're putting burden on some outcome that you have less control over than you think. But if you can say, I love the process of making this podcast, and I don't care where it goes or what people think or if even anyone ever hears it, right? I just like this process. And I don't care if people think I'm bad or good. I just like doing this thing. I like helping people in real estate. I like traveling. I like assisting people with their finances. But I am not tied to the outcome of any of this stuff, right? I am tied only to the enjoyment that I get while I'm doing it. And if it's no longer enjoyable, then I'm not going to do it. but don't let it be not enjoyable just because you're not getting the outcome you think you should be getting. Do it because it's something you're interested in. If you have an interest in it, then that interest can bring you joy. That's all you need to do. And then you can follow the thread of that interest. And you might create a desire, Victoria, to learn more so that you can help more, because some people are being healed and some people aren't being healed. And then you are brought to us. And then you are aware of this in a whole nother level, other than most people who are doing what you were doing. Most people believe that it is the remedy that heals the person, and the people have a certain amount of, well, traditional medical doctor will say that they are responsible for the person's health, unless they're older. If they're older, they will have enough experience to see that some people get healed and some people don't get healed. If they're older, they'll know that a placebo works even if the person knows it's a placebo, because the act of taking the pill is the act of saying, I want to heal, right? It has nothing to do with the medication. It has to do with the belief of it and the act of going through a process where they believe they're going to heal. But now you know that there's resistance causing this, and you know how you can be in this process with them by maintaining a high emotional state of being, by causing them to maintain a high emotional state of being, and by retrieving thoughts that resonate with the benefit of you and the benefit of the patient as well. This conversation we had right here is going to take what you do to a whole nother level. And when you can start charging for it, you will be way more believable and people will have way more faith in you. Mm-hmm. And they will start talking about you to other people. And I can't believe it was $200, but it was really effective. I can't believe it was $500, but it was really unbelievable what happened. I can't believe I have to go every day for 6 weeks at $300 a day, but the results are amazing.
I don't think I would have ever got to the point now with even doing it without you guys, because I've been reading you for so long that it's made a huge difference.
Well, while we have been in existence for a while, we have only been physical for a very short time. And so you are at the beginning of all of this. So all of you are magnificent beings just by the sheer fact that somehow, some way, your vibrations raise to the level that can be in the vicinity of what we're talking about and that you can understand it. You are truly leading edge of the leading edge of the leading edge. And while this information is beneficial to everyone, there are only a handful of people that are ready for it right now. So to be here now, 2017, March, at the very beginning, is truly astounding. And that is proof of your magnificence from our perspective. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Does anyone have anything else? Anybody? Crickets.
Lean forward, Kate. We can't hear you.
I think she might be muted. Astrid. Yeah, I was wondering about Astrid too.
Astrid. Yeah. I saw your Facebook post this morning, Astrid. Come on.
Everyone loves to hear from Astrid.
We love you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't think I have anything more to say today.
Excellent. Well, with that, we want to tell you of our appreciation for all of you, for all of those who are listening, for all of the vibrational work that you are doing, for everything that you are doing to help all those who will come later, for all the questions and answers in these conversations that other people will benefit from all over the world, and with our intention that you feel the joy that we feel just by being in your presence, with that, we are complete.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so, so much.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.